We are oral history interviewers for Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women. Libby, can you give us a description of Sam?
Physically?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he changed a lot. When I married him, he weighed 167. And then he went up till at one time he was well over 200. But by the time the years passed and he became ill and so forth, he went way down. Mm-hmm. He had a very sweet face, and he wore a mustache when I met him. And once he shaved it off, and he looked so different. We'd be going out on the road, you know, we crossed the country so many times, went out for our vacations so often, and then he'd try to get we stayed mostly, that was before the cottages, the cabins were perfected, and they used to be kind of dumpy little places with a common toilet and so forth. So I'd sit in the car with the baby, and he would go from door to door to try to get a place, and if it was more than $3 for the night for the three of us, he came back. Well, I was watching him go up the steps to a house and ring a bell, and it just didn't look like Sam without the mustache. So that summer he drew it on again. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think I told you before that he had this marvelous workshop at the YMHA from about 1926 to 65. And there were every sort of person belonged to it. But they had to pass an interview with him because it was for advanced students. And some of them were wives of presidents of steel companies. He never knew who was who. He only knew them by their drawings. Mm-hmm. And they all loved him.
Well, he must have had a very likable personality.
Yes, he did. He had a very quiet, modest. And the husbands used... Did I say this before?
No.
The husbands... Before they met him, they'd hate him because the wives were always raving about it.
I think maybe you did tell us about that.
I'm afraid I did, so we'll be repeating. So,
what about his likes and dislikes?
Well, other people didn't know about that. He waited to tell me about that. And one would never know whether he disliked something or not. Mm-hmm. And he was in a group is very quiet, except he got him started on art. And he did not like to speak in public. It scared the wits out of him. And now I'm beginning to think before I talk, because I said some things I was sorry I said. So but anyway, he did not like to speak in public, but he would talk always. Always ready to talk to artists or collectors or students most of all. Mm-hmm.
The people that you entertained in your home, were they mostly in the art field?
Yeah, well, for a long time we did both, and then it kind of dwindled down.
Mm-hmm. I read the beautiful note you wrote to friends who expressed sympathy to you after Sam's death. Would you like to talk about this note? How did you happen to compose this marvelous note?
Well, that note was never written for other eyes. It was just for me. And that was not written one day. It was one late night. I was coming from the bathroom and he was sleeping. And I wrote it down. And I think I did not write the whole thing at once. Mm-hmm. I think I wrote the facts first and then I ended it up. But those were done like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm.
In it, you quoted him saying, The darks in painting must always be penetrable, penetrable with light and transparency in the shadows. Would you like to talk about this?
Well, I don't know that there's much I can say, except that it's there. Mm-hmm. That what he meant was there should never be a black spot unless it was so indicated, you know, in the abstraction. But the dark around us has light in it, and he didn't like solid black, you know, had it have light coming through from in back of it. From all around, it should be surrounded and penetrable. You could look into it. Mm-hmm. Does that explain it?
I think so, yes. Now, do I understand this right? This note was not sent to people. This was your note?
That was my note, and Margie Allen, that she got a plug, took it down in history. Margie Allen came to the house to see what I wanted to send out, announcements or whatever. And she said that, you know, she brought a book with all kinds on it. And she said, now if you'd like to write it, we can do that in script. And then Murray was there, and Arlene, and she, we were all trying to work this thing out to the best advantage. I said, I don't know what do you think of this, I said, that I did at night. And I went into my desk, which was in another room at that time, and I brought it out, and she said, that would work beautifully. So just as it was, she took it and had it, what do you call it, printed?
Duplicated, printed.
Well, it's one of the most beautiful notes that I think I have ever seen.
It was written over a period of time, you know, mm-hmm. as it indicates.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Harold, I know you would now like to talk with Libby.
I would like to zero in. I know you were born, you yourself, in 1897.
1898, November.
Oh,
November the 11th.
That's what I didn't have. November. Okay, now we got that straight. And were you born in Toledo, Ohio?
That's right. Sam was born in 1896.
Yeah, I think
tell you that.
We do have that somewhere. Yes. All right, and what I didn't get clarified, you talked about the Armory Show in 1913.
Well, he had nothing to do with that.
That was just a point in time, right, in that the art world.
Oh, yes.
Where the French...
Great Revolution.
Yes. Yeah. Well, was he affected by that revolution?
Not at the time, no.
That's what I thought.
He was, he was in New York, I guess, 1916,
17. Yeah.
And they should have known, but not the National Academy, you see. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they accept today, but at that time, he was enveloped. He was just consumed by what he was seeing in the Metropolitan.
Yes. All right, the other thing we wanted to touch on a little more. What was interesting, you said when he was young, he used to look into Carnegie Tech's art class through the window.
Yes.
And one of those teachers spotted him,
mm-hmm.
and finally called him in to join the class, right?
Right.
Do you remember the name of that teacher?
Sparks.
Oh, you do remember.
No,
see that?
No, but his first name escapes me.
Sorry.
He was a very great teacher, Sam said.
Sparks. And he evidently was Sam's first teacher then. Is that correct?
No, Mr. Copeland's.
Oh, that's right. Well, let's talk about Mr. Copeland's and get that straight.
Well, what can we do about it?
All right. You have a letter here. Would you like to talk about this letter and what it meant and how it was sent?
Three or four letters.
Uh-huh.
And I suppose, I take it that he moved to New York.
Koblenz.
Yes.
Who was the original teacher, you mean?
Well, there may have been somebody there may have been, I know there were art teachers in the schools, in the right. public schools, but he would play hooky from school right. to go see the pictures at the International.
But, well, where did Koblenz teach?
I think he taught privately and at the Columbia, I think that that's where it came from, the Columbia Council, which is now the National Council of Jewish Women. But you don't want me to read these?
No, you can kind of give us a condensation. In other words, what you're saying is this was one of Sam's early teachers, right?
Yes.
And that when he left this city, he kept in touch with Sam by letter.
Yes, Sam seems to send them Christmas presents or something.
And these letters are dated 1911?
November 23rd, 1911. It's the day the 23rd. Today's the 23rd. How many years ago was that? This one was December 27th, 1911.
72 years ago.
72 years ago. And May 8th, 1913.
And what is the gist of the letter? Like, can you remember? What is he really saying?
He preaches to them a lot.
Advice on painting?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's almost too much for me to condense in this short time. This one in the 73, one of the parts that I'd like. I too hope, Sam, you will have the courage to conquer temptations that, it's hard to read this writing, stand in the way of your ambition. And if you put up a good fight, you win. You will. You are now at the age when the devil, quote, steps in, and he is a jolly companion. That's in quotes. Mm-hmm. So beware, he doesn't trip you up by keeping yourself busy and reading the best books. So that's where he's preaching.
Yes, he's giving him good advice.
For young. And how old was Sam then?
Yes.
In 1896.
411.
15.
15 or 16. He
wasn't
would be.
That young, though. I thought he was about 17. I don't know.
And how old was Koblenz?
I don't know.
But he was an older man.
Oh, yes. He was older. And when we went together to New York, he went to see Mr. Koblenz. But he didn't ask me to come. And I didn't think of going. I thought that devil thing was big.
Yes. And what was Koblenz doing in New York? Was he?
I don't know what he was doing.
Or whatever happened to him?
Yes, he just died like everybody.
Yes.
There must have been many more letters.
But it seems the letters were full of good advice. Is that correct?
He seems to have sent him a painting or something. But if I'd known I was going to read them, I would have marked them with pencil. He gives him advice about one of the pictures that he sent, and tells him some correction he made or
yes.
something.
Well, that's good. That showed us that he had some people giving him good advice when he really needed it at that age.
Well, that must have been a great man.
Yes.
I told you before, some of the people that were in this group, Nathaniel Spear Jr.,
yes.
and that he'd gone there thinking they went in the back door all the time in the kitchen and right. they'd get something to eat and so forth, right off of Shenley Park.
Right.
And so Sam thought that Nathaniel's mother was the cook, He never dreamed that that was his mother.
That was their house. Well, I'm trying to think of what... Is there anything that you can think of that you'd like to talk about that we didn't question you about?
About our life together.
Right.
Well, I say always, there are many, many marriages that are as happy as ours was. But there's not one that was happy.
You're lucky.
We had a perfect love.
Yes. That's beautiful. To me, I feel we've covered everything. Would you like to sum up?
One thing I don't think we discussed, was Sam a tall man, a small
no,
man?
No, he was 5'8".
Mm-hmm. And what about his coloring?
Dark.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gather you have nothing more that you would like to share with us, and you've certainly
told... Well, I have lots, but we wouldn't have time.
Well, we're willing to listen.
No, I don't have long enough to live.
What she's saying is she could go on forever, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And that speaks well for you and your marriage and your background and everything. It really does.
Well, you've shared...
Excuse me.
Did you have something you wanted to say?
We had our disagreements.
Mm-hmm. Normal.
And I made him miserable sometimes. I'm so impulsive. He'd turn around and he'd say, shall I take her home?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've certainly shared much wonderful information with us. We've learned a great deal about you and your husband, Sam. It has been a pleasure meeting with you and enjoying your hospitality. Thank you for giving us so much of your time.
You're welcome.